Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. Have you ever noticed how whenever we go into that intro, it's always, we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission? Who do we think we are? Okay, anyway, I'm Brian. I'm a fellow. Wait, here we go. He's going to say
I was going to say, we're dope and we do dope things.
You got to wait for me to ask you.
You ask, who do we think we are? Okay. I'm going to say, we're dope and we do dope things.
Well, that was Colby.
I am dope. My life is dope and I do dope things.
And well, what about you, like Joey?
I think we're blessed. That's what I think.
My goodness, man, we have like.
That's who we are. We're blessed.
You ask a question in the intro. You ask a question, and then when we try to answer it, you yelled at us.
I don't know, man. I did, like, y'all should just pray for me. Like,
we do.
Clearly, yeah, it ain't working.
We're praying and fasting.
Whatever you're praying, pray something different. Okay.
Whole meetings that we have.
Well, guys, welcome back to the podcast. We are continuing this kind of mini series we've been talking about. The fall strategy, your fall kickoff wave here. And so I'm not even going to talk to Colby. He's over there laughing.
Oh, you said the mini, mini series, and with the last one was one of the longest we've ever done.
Hey.
It was supposed to be all this will be a short one. We'll be through it and over.
And we're already dragging this one out, so get started.
I'm leaving. I ain't got time for you. You guys are just, you're crazy.
Having fun.
Too much fun. And by the way, which is a core value of us at the Small Church Leadership Podcast. We ain't making a dime out of this podcast, so we might as well at least have fun while you guys are being tortured to listen to us. So we're talking about the fall wave strategy, and fall is a great time to get people connected to your church. Joey shared with us our last episode that there's a reason why fall is the good time for people to get connected to our church. And Joey, that reason was what?
Well, because they are settling back into a routine. They had to get the kids in school. Summertime is over, so there's no extra time to do things. You got to do homework. You got to get them in bed, so to sleep. And so people are thinking routine and want to get their kids back into church and get back in themselves in a routine. And so just a natural rhythm that happens.
Yeah, a good rhythm. A rhythm and a routine. And that's something, man, I would definitely encourage our small church leaders. Build your calendar around your local school calendar. That's one of the smartest pieces of advice that I was ever given. I used to try to start my calendar in January. Like, man, it's new year, new me. We're going to do this. God's got some stuff in store. Like, that's just not how people's rhythm are whenever you're dealing with younger families. And you're dealing with families who have kids in school. The school calendar will dictate that.
And if you're in the middle of summer right now and the numbers are really low, everybody's numbers are really low. Yep. You're not in it alone. That's why we need to do a fall kickoff to encourage those people that are taking the summer off. And we would say being lazy.
Well, you know what I would say is, Pastor, if your numbers are really low, go on vacation.
Absolutely. Yes.
You enjoy some time as well.
Look, they're going to be gone. You might as well be gone.
Yes.
Get some. The summer is a great time for those young preachers that don't get a lot of opportunities to preach at places. Bring them in, man. Bring them in. Pay them $75. Let them preach and go to the beach somewhere. Like, enjoy it. Hey, maybe even do like our buddy Joey. Take a sabbatical.
I'm not allowed to mention that. I thought I was going to be punched in the face if I said anything about a sabbatical.
I think he's far enough away from you that you're good. So, guys, today we are going to go with, we'll kind of pick up where we left off last time. In our last episode, we talked about the wave, the front side, the day of, and then the back side of the wave. We also have an entire 5-part series on that, episodes 18 through 22 on the Small Church Leadership Podcast. You can check it out that way. So today we're going to talk really about two big things. How do you choose the proper date for your fall kickoff? And then the second is, what are some creative ideas that we can do for our fall kickoff, or for our fall kickoff and the next day, the bounce back day? So choosing a date. Who wants to jump in on this one?
I'm going to jump in on this one.
There you go.
Because a great idea just popped into my head. And I know, I think you shared the last episode that yours is September 12th, which is the week after Labor Day. Now, you don't want to have your fall kickoff Labor Day weekend. So that takes.
Because here's the deal. Labor Day weekend is it's like an extra summer. So their routine gets going back, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get a long weekend. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we missed summer. We're going to be gone. So, don't do Labor Day
weekend. So you don't want Labor Day weekend. Because
Hampton schools don't start to after Labor Day.
Right. So, well, Virginia schools. A lot of Virginia schools don't, especially in our area. And this is going to kind of make Brian's date kind of fall into this category. I had like some homeschool people that would take vacation the week after school started because all of the crowds are no longer out there.
Okay.
And so they would take that next week for vacation and they would go down to the beaches and they'd do all that stuff down there. Plus everything's cheaper because it's no longer the summer stuff. So for us, we wouldn't schedule it on the Labor Day weekend and we wouldn't schedule it the weekend after that. So that leaves us with two weekends in September that we would schedule it in, and dependent upon my schedule, because I do have denominational meetings I go to usually in September. They're not this year, so we're okay. So it gives me two weekends. Usually I would only have one weekend really in September that I would be able to do it in. So that leaves it the 19th or the 26th.
The 19th or the 26th?
Of September, yeah. So that's just us. If you've got a large group of homeschool people in your church, you may not want to have it on the 12th. You may want to not have that one because maybe you got a lot of people that are going to take that vacation afterwards. And some people are going to take vacation the third week. Some are going to take fourth week. They don't have kids, so they're taking vacation. They're like, oh, don't do it that weekend. Well, you can't keep everybody happy. You just want to make sure you're going to have max participation out of the people that you have. So you want to take that, figure out that time to have it based on, and then the other thing we look at too is, when are other churches having their events? You know, they have the fall festivals and stuff like that, which we'll talk more about creative ideas. But if you know other churches are having something that Sunday, maybe you have it the Sunday before just to sabotage them.
Now, I do want to say you're absolutely right. The general idea.
Can you say that again?
I will say it again.
I don't get that enough.
Hey, Colby is absolutely right.
Absolutely.
And Joey is significantly older. Okay. See, you didn't think I was going to bounce back that quick, did you?
No,
okay. Speaking of bounce back, here's some good ideas for your bounce back Sunday. No. Here's the thing. The general consensus. Let me backtrack that, because that's the way that I've been coached from other people that have been coached this way is you want to choose a date 2 to 4 weeks after your local school system starts back to school.
Yeah.
So usually our date would have been pushed back farther. The problem is we're having a scheduling conflict because on the weekend of the 26th, Joey and me are going to be out of town running a stinking race.
Running and waddling.
That's right, yes. And so
10 miles, 5K.
had we not had to go there, our date would have been the 19th.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's the closest. Ours is usually the third week in September. So we had to adjust because I need to be there the week after.
Gotcha.
And so, yes, I would definitely say pretty much you want to do the third or the fourth weekend of September, because you're giving people about 2 weeks to get back in their routine of going back to school and their kids hating homework and all of that new stuff, and then they're starting to look into the next thing. What do you think about that, Joey?
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Why don't you waddle on over here and tell us something?
maybe where they're at, the school system starts mid-August or something like that. Use that 2 to 4 weeks.
Yes, so, yeah, 2 to 4 weeks.
We're just
weeks.
Talking about our scenario
right
here.
Yeah, and because schools are different wherever you are. And now maybe you're in a place where it's predominantly year-round. There's some kind of rhythm there as well.
Yeah.
Okay, there's
yeah.
a rhythm there. And the principle behind the date is find time when they're going back into their rhythm, and then give it about 2 weeks after that before you start adding a different rhythm into it.
Well, I think we're already on where days are getting shorter now,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh.
So that's another part of that fall thing, is the days are shorter by 6 o'clock. It's dark outside, so you can't do those activities.
And this is a difficult part too. But in our area and along the East Coast here, we face these things called hurricanes and tropical storms.
Yep.
And it's
the middle of hurricane.
It is. And so you really, I mean, it's hard to say, okay, we're having it on the 19th of September, and then on the 10th of September, they come out and say that a hurricane's coming your way. You got to adjust, but you can't really, you got to have a plan, and depending on your area, have a backup plan.
Yeah. Yeah, have a plan.
You know, a couple weeks out. I mean, the weather report is 15 days out. It's not a guarantee that in 15 days it's going to do what it says, but you have a pretty good idea when a hurricane's bearing down on your area what's going to happen. So you got to have that plan.
I put the date on all my promotional material. So what I do then? What?
Don't put the date on your date.
If COVID has taught us anything, it's that people will argue over masks. No. Don't put the date on your material.
So my promotional material shouldn't have a date on it?
Not your printed material.
Okay.
I mean, unless like invite cards. So I go to Got Print and I can get like 1,000 colored invite cards for like $25. So, I mean, if you're willing to eat $25, put your date on it. But the yard signs, they're going to be a little more expensive. I think signs on the cheap, you can get yard signs for like $4 a piece. So you order 50-yard signs.
Yeah, now you've
that's a little bit different there. And so, like, that would be my counsel with that.
And the thought of that is, if you can order in bulk, then if you don't have the date on it, and reuse them with the same.
Yes.
If you use the same theme for, you probably won't use the same theme for Easter and and Christmas, because they'll be changed every year. But for this, you might have a theme, welcome home, or
here's something
tailgate
cool
Sunday or something like that.
Here's something really cool. If you don't put a date on your Easter or your Christmas stuff, and you, I don't know about your churches, but in my church, every year we have an Easter, and every year we have a Christmas. If you don't put a date on your stuff and you have 4 years worth of stuff, you can roll that bad boy out again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
like you can use that graphic all over again.
Yeah. You can use that graphic and all over. Yeah.
And I wish I had known this pre COVID, because I, man, you know, we're putting yard signs out and banners and all that
stuff. We threw away 400 invite cards for COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea is be careful whenever you're putting your dating on stuff. Please drive them to your website. Drive them to that landing page. Drive them to a social media event. Man, there are more people on Facebook than we there are so many people on Facebook, this world needs a new plague, to quote Dwight Schrute, right? in the middle of a plague. Probably shouldn't say that anyway.
In the invite card is not to be left for the waitress that you only leave a poor tip with on Sunday that then would need to know the date.
Right.
The invite cards is for personal invitation. That's how I promote them anyway. So you're asking somebody to come to church with you so you can give them the time.
People don't want to go to a friendly church. They want to go to a church with friends.
Friends.
And
so they have to talk to people.
Yeah, they have to. This is something that's interesting. I mentioned very briefly in passing in the last episode to prime the pump with your leaders. And there's a whole story behind this, that there's this guy that is walking in the desert, gets lost, and he comes across this pump, and there's a gallon of water by the pump, and it's a note left with that water, and it said you can use this water to prime the pump. And so he's got a choice. Either he drinks that water or he uses the water to prime the pump. What if the pump doesn't work, right? He's out in the water and he's in the middle of the desert. And, like, we all have that choice. Either we can prime the pump and trust that there's going to be water coming out, or we can drink the water and be in trouble. And so now's the time to prime the pump with your team and with your people. Like, hey, guys, fall kickoff's right around the corner. If you don't have any relationships with any non-churched people, you should probably, or maybe you do, but you haven't invested in them, start building into that.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me, besides the 4 weeks out that I start passing out invite cards and stuff, I got to, before that, start investing?
Dadgummit.
Build it. So you're talking about I had to be 2 months out with this
stuff? We got to be intentional, man. We got to be intentional. And here's the thing.
Can't take a vacation the week afterwards.
Yeah, probably shouldn't do that. I mean, unless you're, well, we'll talk about that later. Here's the thing. Our church, if John Maxwell's correct about leadership being a lid, and our church and our organization, in our case, a church, will never go higher than our leadership, we've got to be intentional, and we've got to push that with our team months and months out. And I have been asking, I just showed you guys our metrics, and our numbers are going up, but you know the number that I pointed out that wasn't going up was the number of salvations. So I have to have a hard conversation. Like, are we just swapping fish from one aquarium to another? Or are we being intentional about building relationships with non-Christians all throughout the year so we can leverage that for the right time? And so, yeah, it takes work, and we've got to invest in priming that pump.
Speaking of fishing in somebody else's pond, I almost found a good drummer for my church, but it didn't work out.
Don't you ever on sabbatical come to our church again and try to steal our drummer. I will stab you. I will give you my wife before I will give you my drummer, okay? She doesn't listen to this podcast.
So it's okay.
We're good.
So I visited Brian's church and happened to go to the same restaurant. It was Father's Day. Happened to go to the same restaurant as his drummer.
This dude sends me a picture of him with my drummer, and he's got Outback Steakhouse stuff. I'm like, is he buying him?
He bought him lunch.
I see him leaving. I said, I got to do it. So I ran and got a picture of him holding up the thing and sent it to Brian.
So this is Joey's last episode on Small Church Leadership Podcast. We wish him a significantly older well time. So, yeah, we've got to work and be intentional. Again, maybe you if you want to eat that $25 for, you know, a couple of invite cards with a date on it. But if you can push them to your Facebook event, if you can push them to your website where it has the date and all of that stuff, you can change a Facebook event date a lot cheaper and easier than you can a 1,000 cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's something to be cognizant of. So the big principle for choosing a date is 2 to 4 weeks outside or after the school starts back. Now, remember, COVID may have impacted this date. I'm not sure of what that would look like. I know this is a theory that I have, and you guys can weigh in on this theory. I think that the people that I've been seeing, they've been cooped up for so long that, like, church is almost kind of like a fun thing for them to come do now. And so they're like, hey, we're getting out. We're just going to do stuff. Maybe you're going to see more people this fall at your kickoff because, hey, we're ready to go and be around people and be around crowds again. I don't know, but I do know that the fall is a good time for us to be intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about promotion then. Like, we've talked about getting all these invite cards. We've talked about yard signs and all of this stuff. Here's another good thing that we often don't hear when we talk about promotion, and that is the internet promotion part of the deal. So, Joey, share with us the internet promotion side of this.
Well, I use Facebook events.
Facebook events.
And I set up an event page for that. And I have my web page. It's got a landing page on it.
I love you so much.
His face was priceless. When, like, you what? Ask a significantly older person to tell us about the internet, he's like, what? It's a www something.
My mama said the internet the devil.
We're hashtagging now, Joey.
Yeah, I was trying to get my people to hashtag whatever that means. I am not the one to ask for this. I was hoping to get some education here. So, Brian, okay. please, what is this Google ad stuff that I'm hearing about?
Okay, so
and what is Google ad? What is it? What does it add to you?
Okay, so
I'm out for Google, a minute.
Google actually adds numbers together for you. Okay, so. Here's the thing that we don't hear often, but I think is super important for church growth and promotion, and that is the internet, in particular Google AdWords. Now, here's what Google AdWords are. Let's say that you're looking for a new weed eater, and you go to Google and you're like, what's the best weed eater under $150? Well, Google is going to pop up some results. But at the top of that page, they're going to have some sponsored ads. That's Google AdWords. How you get Google AdWords are the companies pay for that. So, for example, in your church, there are companies that you can use, or you can do it yourself, where you can track down what's referred to as keywords. There are going to be certain keywords that people are using to search for certain things. For example, I gave you some keywords in that example. Best weed eater under $150. So best weed eater and then the under 150. That's the keyword. So when somebody's looking for a church in your area, what would they be looking for? For example, we've noticed in our city, people are looking for contemporary churches. So guess what? In my ads, you'll find contemporary church in this city. We found that people will search for things like kid-friendly churches. People will search for things like charismatic churches, Baptist churches, non-denominational churches, all of these keywords. So this goes with what's referred to as SEO, which is search engine optimization. Ultimately, what that does is it makes your website optimized the best that it can be for the search engine when people are looking for you. So, you're looking at me like I'm talking to you in Chinese.
I was going
to
say,
right,
Joey, just go get you a 20-something, 20-year-old.
Yeah, okay.
Get you a 20 to 25-year-old person.
Just lie down. Just lie engine. Down. Lie down, and I'll tell you about this.
Is that like a train? Is that like a train?
Do I need an engine besides the engine in my truck? What's a search?
Speak in terms that are a little bit easier to understand.
I just want to Google it.
Everything I did is what's referred to as the backside of the website. Now, we talk about backside of the wave, so don't get those two confused. The front end of your website is what people see. So when they type in yourchurch.whatever, that's the front end of the website. The back end of the website is the stuff that's working to get the website to them. It's the stuff under the hood, okay? So you can plug in your website certain words. So let's say you have everybody's got an About the Pastor or an About Us page. Do you have those keywords in what you're writing there? Because I went to Emmanuel College. People in this city aren't looking for a church by typing in Emmanuel College. But if my bio says Brian went to Emmanuel College where he developed his passion for contemporary churches, boom, there's a hit. Or there's part, and this is very oversimplified version of this. But I'm saying all of this that doesn't, this is the stuff you need to understand why it matters. There are companies you can pay, and there are also 20-year-olds that you can find, like Colby's saying, that know how to do this. But the big thing is this. Everybody needs a Google account. If you've got a Gmail, you've got a Google account. If you don't, just sign up for one. They're free. When you get that Google account, you can then go into Google to your account, and you can create an AdWords profile. Now, AdWords, that's A-D-W-O-R-D-S. That's one word, not two, not ad and words, but it's AdWords together. When you build this account, then that gives you an opportunity to they will walk you through. And it's a time-consuming process to learn it on the front end of it, to learn it whenever you've never gone to it before. But if you can honestly carve out 3 days of your week and just all I'm focusing on is this, you'll get it figured out. You can create an ad. You can put your information in, your credit card information, because you're going to have to pay for this. This is a marketing that you're doing. But you can make it where your ad is the top ad that pops up when people are searching for things. Now, here's how it works. I've seen it work in two ways. Pay per click. So every time somebody clicks on it, you can set the budget. So say you want to set your budget at 4 cents a click. So when they, if 10 people click on it, that's 40 cents that you're paying Google, right? Now say 40,000 people click on it. That's where it gets different. Now here's when I talk with small church pastors, they go, but what if 40,000 people click on it? And I always go, are 40,000 people looking for you? Like, honestly, you just have, are 40,000 people going to click on your ad word? Really? 40,000 people don't click on Stephen Furtick's ad word. You know what I'm saying?
I don't blame them.
Like, I mean, I don't blame them either.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. and you can set a budget. So let's say you want to set your budget $50 a month. They can click that ad all they want to. When your budget is reached, Google will actually shut your ad down, and whoever's next in line will get into place there. So you don't go over your budget. You can set whatever you want it to be. And it's really kind of sort of complicated to explain now that I'm trying to explain it out loud and looking at the looks that you're giving me. But just know that it's something that can be done, that when people are searching, when people go to the internet and they type in, I'm looking for a church, my God, your job is done for you.
Yes.
So just get popped up. And here's the thing. There's this meme going around the internet right now with Loki from Avengers. When he goes, you must be really desperate to come looking to me for help from the first Avengers movie. And over Loki's head, it says Google page number two, because nobody goes to page two of Google. You must be really desperate for that. So when people are Googling church in your area or whatever keyword that is, are you on the first front page? And that's something. I'm going to tell you the truth. This is very important. We set our budget when we first got started at $250 a month. I promise you guys, we saw three new families every week come through the door, Google AdWords. So now, we didn't keep them because we didn't have systems in place. But
now, should I go there like every hour and type in those things and then click on my ad?
Yeah, you're spending your own money. Don't click on your ad and don't listen. Integrity here, folks. Don't click on the other churches in your community. Don't do that either.
I'm already on Forward Churches. I'm hitting Forward Churches.
I didn't click on it like 10 times. So
let me help you with some practical things you can do. There's a company called Boostability. Boostability. They literally exist to boost your website. So all that stuff, if your eyes glazed over when I was talking about search engine optimization and keywords, just remember Boostability. Pay them $500 to do a campaign, and they'll work your stuff. Now, they don't do AdWords, but they get your site ready for AdWords. And then there are other things you can do. So also, Colby was just showing me to remind me, there is a grant for nonprofit organizations that you can get up to $10,000 from Google for Google AdWords. Now, let me hit that timeout real quick, because some people listening are like, Google's going to give me 10 grand. Heck yeah. They're not going to send you a check for $10,000, but they're going to give you $10,000 worth of AdWords. Now, I just said when I got started, we did $250 a month. How many months would it take us to get?
I typed in churches in Portsmouth, and mine was number one.
You found it. Yeah, we've got to get better. We've got to get better with ours. I don't even know if ours. And now, look, you're in you're looking at the map part of it. Now, that's the part that I'm talking about there, not just the map, because the map is different. And this is stuff that I wish that I had been taught a long time ago.
We're sitting in this church. It's going to pull up the nearest church.
Because your location service is on.
Yeah.
Right. So this is why you need, you personally need a Google account, but your church needs a Google account as well, because that's how it pulls up on the map. Yep. That's how people can give you reviews.
It also has Church's Chicken.
So think about this. Review. This is something I learned from Church Marketing University. I'm part of Church Marketing University with Ryan Wakefield. They are great. But they will say this, like with real estate. You remember the three words in real estate that matters? Location, location, location. They will say the internet is location, location, location. And that Google, how does it, he phrase it? He phrases it that Google is the highway that your church is parked on. And so when people are driving by, can they see your church? So you need to be able to get Google reviews every month, people that are reviewing how your church is going, because all that does is it helps push your site up. So when people are Googling your church, good reviews, by the way.
I had somebody that does not come to our church, has never been to our church, give me a 2 on a review. Yeah. Knocked us down.
Yeah. See, this stuff, I'm telling you, this stuff, Google, Yelp, and these
I've
are the
I've been
things
here now.
Bless it.
I'll take that one.
This is where I'm way off in the weeds of all of that. Here's at the end of the day, if you Google how to use Google AdWords, they're going to show you how to use it, because you're going to be paying them money and they're going to show you how to do it. Go to YouTube, man. YouTube will show you how to do this stuff. But I'm telling you, man, Google AdWords, making sure that you're getting regular reviews, all of this stuff is killer for being able to be seen online. And so that's something that's really important.
And got to get your church people getting your reviews out there. I mean, we've got so many people sitting in our churches that are on their phones during the service anyway. Yeah. Just have them go to Google and give us a review.
Now, here's something, too, about that. Don't go this Sunday and be like, hey, everybody
do it. Yeah.
Because here's what Google does. They track that. And what they will see that as spam marketing. And so instead of you getting the result, which is lifting your church up, they'll actually penalize you.
So get 2 or 3 people a week.
It's 2 or 3 people a week. Or if you're a larger organization that's been around, because Google will see how old your website is, too.
Yeah.
If your website's a year old versus a website that's 15 years old, the 15-year-old one has more credibility in the eyes. So, again, you just have to find a system. How can you regularly get Google reviews, Yelp reviews? How can you regularly get that thing to grow? And if you're out there listening to this and you're going, Brian, this has nothing to do with making disciples and helping the kingdom of God be built and preaching and doing the work of an evangelist and fulfilling my ministry, I would challenge you. I think it is. You're listening to this podcast on the internet. The internet matters. We cannot avoid the internet these days. So that's one thing to do, Google AdWords. Another thing to do is Facebook ads, social media ads. Those are big in certain situations. What I've heard from the pastors I've talked to is that they will use Facebook ads that will point people to the Facebook event, in this case, fall kickoff, so then they can follow up with them that way. So it's almost like a ping pong thing here. Whereas Google AdWords is like, I'm looking for a product. You've shown me the product. I'm going to buy the product. Facebook ads are, I'd like to go out for dinner and a movie. And I'd also like to go and play putt-putt. And I'd also like to have ice cream before I go home. Help plan this out for me. And that's kind of what the Facebook ads do with a lot of the guys that I've talked to. So those are some things to be very cognizant of.
And they're not that expensive overall. I mean, if you're looking at paying a marketing agency, that's expensive. Mm-hmm. We did the Facebook ad for Easter, and I think we spent maybe $15 and got 3 weeks or 2 weeks of ads that went on for that time and reached over 4,000 people, I think, is the space of whatever the parameters. And you can set the parameters, the dollar amount. You can set it up to it's $1 a day, $4 a day. It'll reach more people the more money you spend per day. So we use that for Easter, and it reached a lot of people.
Yeah. So I know that it's easy to feel overwhelmed with hearing this stuff, because if this is not even my wheelhouse. I mean, I know I'm significantly younger than Joey, but this is not even my wheelhouse. I've had to learn how to do some of these things. And also, I outsource as much of it as I can. And there are companies that will help you. And maybe you can't afford to do it right now, but plan it in the budget for next Easter. Like, you don't have to do AdWords all the time. Like, honestly, I think you're wasting money if you're doing AdWords in the summer. people are just, that's the rhythm of life. They're at vacation.
Yeah, they're not worried about
it. They're not worried about it. So push your AdWords in February, March, and April leading up to Easter. Push them July, August, September leading up to fall. Maybe push them around Christmas. That's my personal philosophy. So that's not thus saith the Lord. But these are tools that we can use to reach people with the kingdom, for the kingdom of Jesus.
So can you list some of these things for me again that we talked about?
Yes. So we have talked about finding the proper date, and the way to find that proper date is to go 2 to 4 weeks after school starts back in your context. We've talked about promotion being anywhere from invite cards that you give to people personally that you're related with.
Where can I go to get invite cards?
Invite cards can be found anywhere. Vistaprint. You can go to, I use GotPrint because it's just easier and they have all my templates in there.
I've used Vistaprint and GotPrint. Uh-huh. Sometimes it can be a little bit complicated getting it. And don't do borders.
All the way
to the edge, uh-huh, because it's a big hassle trying to get that done.
I tell you, another place too that's really good is Canva. Canva is good, and Canva is the thing that I like about Canva is you can design it there and then have it shipped from them.
Yeah.
So, like with GotPrint, I have to typically bring my design to them. So those are some places you can go for, like, the yard signs. You can get Vistaprint yard signs, GotPrint, also signsonthecheap.com.
I have personally found them to be the cheapest and the best. Uh-huh.
I think the difference that I've found with them is I'm not ordering as many signs.
Okay.
But maybe that could be a little different there. But Signs on the Cheap are great. Like,
yes.
Like the Kevin, the guy who coaches us from ThriveChurch.me, they always use Signs on the Cheap.
If I wanted a logo, well, maybe I'd...
Man, if you wanted a logo, you can do many things with that. You can go to Fiverr.com. Like, you can get somebody there. They're freelance artists.
Fiverr.
Is Fiverr two R's? I can't remember. I think Fiverr has two R's. Somebody looked that up while I'm talking. So you can go to Fiverr.com. You could also go to something like Canva, and you can make a logo in Canva. The guy that made our logo is Evan Courtney from, Courtney, what is it? Simple Solutions with Courtney, I think is his brand. But you can find him. If you go to Google and you type in a logo maker, you can find different logo makers. Yes, Fiverr. Thank you, Joey. Fiverr has two R's on the end of it. So those are places that you can go that you can make logos. Fiverr's pretty easy, pretty cheap, depending on whom it is you're working with.
And you get different. You get one or two, three, depending on what you...
Yeah, depending on what you pay for.
Pay for there.
Yeah, so, and there's also some other free logo companies that you can use. Now, we use that with Small Church Leadership because we didn't have a whole lot of money that we were going to dump into it, and it's good. The problem with free logos is that you don't have as much versatility as you would with a custom logo.
There's got a lot of preset stuff, and you plug in your preset stuff to get what you want.
So you may run into, church down the street has the same logo, dadgummit. Also, here's something in terms of events and logos and stuff like that. Man, I'm a part of Church Marketing University. I'm a monthly member there. They give their Easter stuff out for free every year. And that stuff, like Colby has used Church Marketing University's Easter stuff before. All their logos are there. Joey, you use them. All their logos are there for free for the events and all of that. So that stuff.
It's funny when you're driving down the road and you see other people's signs and they're the same color scheme and everything.
Wait a second.
They go to Church Marketing.
And that's one of the downsides of that.
Yeah.
Is everybody can get on board and can kind of do some of the same things. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you can do with logo. We've talked about marketing online with Google AdWords. We've talked about SEO, search engine optimization, and looking for companies that can help with that, like a Boostability. Even honestly, website companies like GoDaddy. GoDaddy will work with you. They have a side of their website company that does search engine optimization stuff. Wix, the company that does websites, WIX, they have a SEO side of theirs. And we've talked about Facebook marketing.
Free Church Marketing. Don't they have help that you can pay for too?
I don't know. I can't hear you because you're not talking into the microphone.
I'm sorry. What was the free site that you said, the free church marketing?
Churchmarketing.com.
Church Marketing University.
Church Marketing
now,
University.
They're not free, but they have free things
stuff
that
Easter,
are free stuff
but
Easter.
They can help you with some of this church marketing,
yes,
too, to be, if you pay them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so they're a coaching group.
Okay.
And so, like, I'll tell you, man, they're worth every penny that I've invested in them. But one day – Small Church Leadership will have that as well. So stay tuned, my friends. So that's some of the things we've talked about. Like, as we take just a little bit of time to kind of take a sharp left turn here, let's talk just a little bit about some, what is it you're showing me there?
Prime the pump with your team. I think we talked about that, but did we talk about ways to do that?
So the biggest way to prime the pump with the team is to just be talking about it.
Yeah. Don't get excited.
Get excited about it. Yeah. Talk about it. Don't wait until the last minute. Somebody said this to me years ago, and it made me want to just karate chop them, that dates don't sneak up on people. People's lack of planning sneaks up on people.
Hey.
And I'm like, whoa, bro. No. But it's true. Like, 24 hours is 24 hours. It's not like, you know, we say it, and the older we get, we're like, man, it's already Christmas. My kids are already this old. Like, weren't they just born yesterday? You got to be intentional with the time. So the best way to start priming the pump is right now to start putting that out on the dashboard. Hey, don't forget, we're living here, but we're going there.
So with your leadership, start telling them why it's important, what you're going to do, what's the goals, and why that goal is there.
Yes, absolutely. Keeping the why in front of them is big. That's very good. So talk about it with the team. I like to practice the principle of reverse gossip. So it's, I talk good about people behind their back, and eventually it'll get to them. I like the idea of letting it leak to them. So what that means is I'll start talking with key people that I know we're going to run their mouth. And I'm like, man, fall kickoff is like going to be here in 2 weeks. And guess what I'm thinking about doing this year? Because I know what's going to happen is they're going to let it leak to this person, let it leak to that person. And if you get enough people letting that stuff get out, it starts driving some excitement for it and some anticipation and all of that.
You said this is going to be there in 2 weeks, so you don't do that but 2 weeks out?
Oh, I said 2 weeks.
You did say 2 weeks.
You caught me on the 2 weeks thing, dadgummit. I mean, 2 months. I didn't say 2 weeks, 2 months. You didn't know I have a DeLorean. I can go back to the future. Okay. Yeah. So that's one way to prime the pump for sure. I think bringing your team into the creative process of it, like Colby does a great job with that. And so bringing them in, hey, this is fall. What are we going to do this year? Like, what's our bounce back event? Because that's a, like, when I told my team, guys, One City Church has a stinking petting zoo the week after Easter, my team's like, we got to do something like that.
We're going to do a two-way petting zoo.
What are we going to do? So we thought about doing a two-way petting zoo. Two-way petting
zoo. Where you pet the animals and they pet you back.
Jim, just have that rundown on my desk by five, okay? So bring your team in. Let them have creative freedom around the table to speak into what you're doing and what's going on. What are some ways that you would do to prime the pump with the team?
I start assigning roles early so they have time to work on that and they have buy-in.
Yeah.
They have responsibility in it. Yeah. And so everybody wants to be part of a winner, so if you had to put in your effort to make it a win.
I forget the way the phrase goes, but it is don't ask me to play a part if I can't be a part.
Mm.
And that buy-in is really, really big. And honestly, it's taken me a long time to mature as a leader to be able to give people buy-in like that. I used to feel like I have to have control over everything, and if I don't control it, then it's not going to be perfect, and they're going to mess my – I was even coached this way. Hey, you got to guard your brand because people are going to change the colors, and they're going to do this and do that. Yes, people are going to change the colors, and they're going to do that whether I'm guarding it or not. And so either I'm going to come across as a jerk or I'm going to come across as someone who can give them healthy parameters and hold them accountable to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So Rick Warren says you can either structure for control or growth, but you can't structure for both.
Yeah,
you have a weekly, and I like that. I need to do that. I have a monthly. So I start actually in January going, hey, Easter is coming.
Yeah.
But this is what we're going to do. And each week teaching on front side of the wave, the day. And so for 3 months, I've been teaching that as we got closer to the wave.
Yeah. And it's so important. We just have to keep it in front of them. I think Andy Stanley says vision leaks. And his principle is people forget the vision every 21 days.
Yeah.
So pretty much every 3 weeks you're having to cast the vision again. And when you're talking about if this fall wave is 2 months away, then that means people are going to forget it 2.5 times before it gets here. Mm-hmm. So we got to start talking through. So as we shift here, let's talk just a little bit about some creative ideas. What are creative ideas that you've done or you've seen done for fall kickoff and or the bounce back Sunday after fall kickoff? We obviously know the petting zoo.
We did an event we called Kicking It with Jesus, and it was a kickball tournament. that we did Sunday after church with what we had, grills going and cooked up a bunch of food. And, we had all kinds of stuff going on outside. We had a kickball tournament and it was kicking it with Jesus.
I will say I saw that marketing because you got signs for that.
Yeah. We had a whole thing going on.
I saw it all over town.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like I knew kicking it with Jesus. I only think of your church when I hear that. Joey, what about you? What's some creative things you've seen or creative things you've done?
We brought in bounce houses and a slide with a water slide for that day and did that and then didn't smoke meat.
Smoke some meat there.
Yes, sir.
That's what these guys have coming up 4th of July.
Yeah, we're doing that 4th of July. We got a mini wave going on where we're coming in at 4 a.m. to smoke some pork
butts. Let me tell you something. I just hope they don't make you get up at 4 a.m. in heaven because I'm not going to be a fan of that.
If I wanted a good recipe on ribs or
something on
hamburger grill, or something like that, where could I go to find a good way?
I'd say go to Pit Pastor Barbecue on YouTube and you will get some great recipes.
Pit Pastor Barbecue.
Pit Pastor Barbecue.
Okay.
Pit Pastor BBQ.
There he goes.
Okay.
And guys, if you're still listening to us, that is a shameless plug for our brother Colby has started his Pit Pastor Barbecue
channel. I have.
On YouTube. Go and subscribe to him, follow him, comment, like, share.
You have no idea how much you don't know when you have to record stuff and edit stuff and do all that stuff.
People that have listened to us are like, well,
we know what you don't know.
If I want a biblical perspective on ministry, where would I go?
Ooh, I tell you where you could go. Where you could go is you could go to Brian Burgess' YouTube channel. That's what you could go.
Is that where I could go?
And you know how you can find that? If you can't find it on YouTube, you could also go to the Brian Burgess channel page on Facebook, wherever you get your Facebook. Listen, and that will help you have a biblical approach to your ministry.
Well, I'm already going to Facebook Small Church Leadership. So can we post those on there so I can get the links from there? I don't have to go to all these other places to find that.
We could potentially post those on there.
Can you do that for me?
We'll see if we can do that for you.
Okay, I would appreciate that.
Pit Pastor BBQ also has a Facebook page.
I can only learn one. Look at how long it took me.
I put a blackberry cobbler on there last night. I'll tell you what, that was smack your mama good.
Man. Oh, the Lord is good.
Yes.
So, listen, this man.
We went so far off the trail. He did
so much, man. He's making us look like we're way better than we are. Everybody needs to bless Joey
in
their life.
Yes.
So, here's some creative ideas that I've seen. We've definitely talked about the petting zoo. We do Tailgate Sunday. And for us, we play it up big with the football theme. Everybody wears their favorite jersey that day. We get a lot of trash talk between NFL divisional rivalries in the building. And we have like a big tailgate party. Now, people are in the parking lot smoking meat when people are pulling up. So, they're probably smoking other stuff too. I mean, this is Portsmouth. But anyway, we don't run them off. We're like, hey, you need to be on staff. We meet every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Give me your Zoom information. I'll plug in. So, when people pull up, they can smell that food going. And I'm like, you just have to endure a one-hour service, and we're going to feed you for free. We also do
– one-hour sermon?
One-hour service.
Service.
Sermon. Yeah.
The
whole service is nothing but an hour. Yes, that's correct. Our regular services –
does that even allow Jesus to move?
You know what? Here's the thing. Like, hopefully, it allows Jesus to move. But we don't know. We're going to wait till we get to heaven. Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians that on Judgment Day it will be revealed what we've built with. So, yeah, we have that tailgate Sunday going on and food's happening in the parking lot. We've got bounce houses and all kinds of games going on. So that's something we've done. Here's something we're going to do this year. So we're kicking off the next week a new sermon series with our kids ministry. And that new sermon series is built around race cars. And really the idea is like running the race of life, but we're using like race cars and we're building a track and all that stuff. Well, the Sunday after Tailgate Sunday, we're doing race car day. And I'm reaching out to local race cars, local race teams. And I've got an inroad with one of them to bring their actual race car out. And we're going to, like, think about we're going to have the race car out there. Like, it's just all – that's what we're doing is our big bounce back comeback event. So it's going to be like, man, next week we're going to have race cars here. I've been thinking about maybe even doing a car show and having some old classic cars out there And so it's going to be basically tailgate Sunday 2 weeks in a row.
I got my 98 F-150 out there. That's
hey, listen, here's what I know. We've got some millennials in our church like me that would look at that tape deck and they would be like, what is that? What in the world? Is that an iPod holder? They wouldn't even iPod. Who even has an iPod anymore? Anyway.
And he's not joking. I have the tape deck.
Why? Because he's significantly older than the rest of us.
Yeah. Listen, April's all the time like, how is his truck still going? Like, we've gone through five cars since we've known him, and he's still riding that truck everywhere. And I'm like, hey, that thing's built Ford Tough is all I know. So that's something that we've done is tailgate Sunday.
That's the difference between being good and being good looking.
Get on out of here. Okay, some other things we've seen are Friend Day. Friend Day is really something. And I love Dr. Elmer Towns from Liberty University. I think he actually started Friend Day, but he would do F-R-I-E-N-D, friends, relatives. Oh, God, frangelism. Frangelism is what he called it. Friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors, F-R-A-N. And so he's like, these are the people we're doing frangelism, not evangelism. So who are your friends? Who are your relatives? Who are your associates? Who are your neighbors? And then that kind of parlayed into that they called it Friend Day. But that's something that
the Friends Church is actually the one that started Friends Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't like calling it Friend Day.
So fall festivals. Like churches, we do fall festivals all the time.
Doing them a lot on Saturdays and realizing that you'll get people coming on a Saturday, but you won't get them back on Sunday. So you got two choices. You can give them the gospel on Saturday, or you can just have your fall festival on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a great point, because I'm not going to get them out 2 days. I'm not coming Saturday, and the thought was I do a Saturday event, and then they're going to come back because they love us so much. Nah, you have to do it on a Sunday where you get them to the church service, where then they might come back the next to that church service.
And you end up grumpy.
Oh, yeah.
And then you start hating doing events because when are we going to get paid for this? Because everything that we're doing, all this money and energy, ain't nobody coming back on Sunday. Here's the thing, guys. There's a difference between doing a fall festival as simply an outreach to your community versus what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a specifically designed event targeted to reach people and get them connected to your church as active members. It's not going down and going into the community and feeding the homeless. Your church isn't going to grow numerically very much that way. So both of these are needed. It's not either or. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to be out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, also the hands and feet of Jesus is creating a church community where people enjoy coming and hearing the gospel and participating and being in community.
So the service usually don't bring a lot of people in. It builds the people we have
Exactly right. Yeah. And we can't get in this dichotomy where we make you choose in this false dichotomy between it's either this or that. Do all of it. Be in the community, serve, do events that are geared just for give back events, but then do events that are geared for comeback events. All of this matters. So, man, we've talked about a lot of stuff today.
For not having much to say.
For part two of a podcast that we thought we'd get through in 20 minutes. So, guys, this has been good, man. So, again, we want to encourage those of you out there that are listening, it's time to start thinking about and getting your strategy together for your fall wave. And we didn't talk a lot about specifics of the follow-up section on the backside of the wave, but you can go and listen to episode 18 through 22. We did a whole series on what the wave looks like in the context of Easter. Just take the bunny out and put a fall leaf in there, and you'll be good to go. Hey, I did think about this when I said that fall leaf. We did a bounce-back event after Tailgate Sunday, so our Tailgate Sunday's in September. We did an October event so we could invite them to come back to it, like how we partner Mother's Day and Easter together, and we called it Churchtoberfest because everybody's all about Oktoberfest. And like we made this, it was basically our fall festival part two, but this time we had like apple cider or something like that.
Okay.
And that was just a creative name, and so I did want to mention that. Like, we're just rebranding stuff is all we're doing.
Did we mention bounce back event, what that is? We've just been saying bounce back event.
You know what? Maybe we didn't mention what that is. So we're clear, the bounce back event is the next Sunday. Is something that we're giving that makes people want to come back the following Sunday.
Does it have to be the following Sunday?
I think it needs to be the following Sunday, yes. Now some people do it two Sundays later, but I think the next Sunday, because in the context of Easter, and nobody coming back the next Easter because you've got those only Easter, these Easter only people, that next Sunday bounce back event is going to be huge. Now, I think in the fall, you may have a little bit of latitude in the fall.
Yeah.
Not sure about Christmas.
I'm not sure about Christmas. Easter is Mother's Day. You can promote Mother's Day, which is not usually back to back.
Right.
But it's another natural event or something that makes them want to come back. Yeah. It's not just a regular Sunday.
Yeah.
It's something else to come back to. Good.
Now, to talk about Christmas, Christmas usually had, there's one Sunday following Christmas, and that is the lowest attended Sunday of the year. There are two lowest attended Sundays of the year, Memorial Day and the Sunday after Christmas. Have other people preach that one. Okay. So here's the thing, though. The reason that I'm saying do this bounce back event the next week is we want to capitalize on the energy and excitement people get from being at the first event. Mm-hmm. And so if vision leaks every 3 weeks with leaders who are already on the team, excitement for the church will leak a lot quicker than that. So do your big event, your big fall event, and then the very next week have some kind of big bounce back event. Now, maybe you don't have to have a race car in the parking lot like we're trying to do. That's just something we're trying to, man, really capitalize on these few weeks in the calendar. Like, we want people connected. The way we're ending that series, by the way, is we're doing a big Pinewood Derby. So all the kids are going to build Pinewood Derby cars, and we're going. So that's how we're ending that series. So we're kicking it off with race cars. We're ending it with race cars. So you've got to figure out how the rhythm works for you. I just think that as many times, it's like the Titanic. The Titanic was sank by the iceberg by small holes that were put in the Titanic, not by a big gaping gash, but it was like 90 to 100 foot of just small gashes that iceberg broke. And that was what caused the Titanic to be overwhelmed with water. What we're trying to do is put constant small gashes in our church growth strategy. So we're putting tailgate Sunday or fall kickoff. We're putting this Sunday right behind that. We're putting that Sunday right behind that so we can try to get this thing moving. So that's kind of my idea. And of course, this got to be the right idea, right? Because I said it.
So saith Brian.
Well, guys, what else do we want to say to anybody? Joey says, land the plane.
Land the plane.
Are you saying I'm preaching?
You can go to wherever you get the podcast. Give us a rating, whether you decide it's a 5 or a 4 or a 2. It's up to you. We'll take whatever you give us as long as it's honest. And you're not just picking on us because we're the best-looking guys you know. But give us an honest rating. We'd appreciate it.
And if you'll go to our Facebook page, Small Church Leadership, you'll find more information there about us and hopefully about some making some good barbecue and some biblical-based stuff.
That's right, man. So, guys, we've been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big old mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we love you. We'll see you next time, guys. Bye.